Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans, most doctrinal book in the New Testament. And this evening we are in Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm excited about that as well. In the middle of the chapter, I think we have maybe three or four verses that we'll cover, and it'll be a great time. Also, every Sunday night I have Little Bear Bible Club for all the children. And Miss Vicki heads that up, and they love to be in Little Bear Bible Club. What a joy. I was visiting someone just yesterday, and he said, a junior boy said, "Tell Miss Vicki I miss Little Bear Bible Club." And so I was able to let her know that. And we have that open. So we are pretty much opening up all the services. We have Awanas on Wednesday night, the teenagers on Wednesday night. Last Wednesday, I heard they had almost 60 teenagers on Wednesday night, a great crowd. And so we are having a wonderful time. I also want to mention that today we start opening up our invitation. Now, I know we haven't done that during COVID, right? But we're doing that. So, you know, an invitation is time it's a response. It's a time we respond to the way the Lord deals with our heart. Sometimes we make a decision and we think, you know, me and God made a decision. And then there's sometimes where God wants that to be a public decision. If you've trusted Christ and never publicly let that be known, that's called confessing Christ before men. If you've trusted Christ and never been scripturally baptized, that's by immersion after salvation. Doesn't save you, doesn't make you a Christian, but it's a step of obedience for a Christian because Jesus asked us to be baptized. It is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about rededicating your life. You know, we've just gone like 10 months with very little church. Sometimes you use that time to draw close to God, and sometimes the devil uses it to pull us away. And every Christian goes through times where we just feel like I need to rededicate my life. I don't know about you. As a pastor, I've had times in my life where I felt like I just needed to rededicate my life. I wasn't in deep sin. wasn't that. But it was just I knew I wasn't where God wanted me to be. And I don't know about you, but that's not a good place for a Christian. You want to be in the center of God's will for your life. And so many times I've just come to an altar and said, "Lord, I'm just rededicating, reaffirming. I want to give you my heart afresh and anew." It's not getting saved again. It's just called a rededication. And maybe you're going through some trials in your life and there's things you just want to pray about. You know, sometimes I've come to an altar and maybe there was a special need in my heart or my family or a loved one's life. And I just felt like I got a little closer to God. I know. Doesn't get you any closer to God. But having been raised up in church all the time, I spent a lot of time around an old-fashioned altar praying for God's will and God's direction and God's blessing in my life and the life of others. And so today we'll have that. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about placing your membership here at Grandview Baptist Church. If you've been saved and baptized or willing to be, you can become a member of Grandview Baptist Church. We'll vote you right in the same day. Let me say that every Christian ought to be a part of some church, some Bible-believing church. I'm not saying Grandview is where God wants you. But I do know the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of you will let you know where you belong. And you say, "How does he do it?" I don't know how he does it. I just know you'll know it. And if you know that and God wants you to be a part of our fellowship, we would enjoy having you. If it's someplace else, we're going to say, "God bless you. We love you. And we want God's best for your life." Romans chapter 5, we're starting in verse 12, going through verse 21. But I want to start reading in just verse 12 through verse 14. So if you would stand with me, and I'll read, and if you'll stand, we'll have a word of prayer after we read these few verses, and then you may be seated, and we'll start the message. And I guarantee you, I will let you out before this day is over. So in chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude, that means likeness, of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and you may be seated. Father, speak to our hearts. Lord, we didn't come here to hear the words of a man. We came to hear your voice. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we need direction. We need wisdom. We need guidance. We need you in our hearts. We need you in our lives. We need you in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our jobs. Lord, there's so many areas of our life where we're needy. And we come here because we want to hear the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Give us what you want. So, Father, give us ears to hear. And Lord, I yield myself to you as best I know how. And I hope that I could just be a vessel you could flow through to share your word in such a way that could be used to be a help to these dear, sweet people who have gathered here this Sunday morning. Lord, how I pray you'll bless them. And Lord, we love you and we're so thankful for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're looking at two men, two outcomes. And that's what this passage, verses 12 through 21, is going to share. Two men, two outcomes. The first man is Adam. Of course, he's the first created of the human race. The last man we'll look at is Jesus Christ, the God-man, 100% man, 100% God. That's what the incarnation, being born at Bethlehem, was all about. God becoming human flesh. To live among us and then to die for us a substitutionary death so that we might have his righteousness imputed to us. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing the Christians at Rome. And he has not been there yet. But he knows that some on the day of Pentecost were from Rome. And they've gone back there. Now, as far as we know, there's no real established church, but no doubt there's house churches and there's assemblies. We don't know a name of a pastor of the church at Rome or the churches of Rome. But the Apostle Paul is writing them so they can be grounded in the faith. And you know, that's important. That's one of the reasons we come to church. God wants us not just to be Christian, but he wants us to be grounded in the faith, to know what thus saith the Lord. What does the Word of God say? For a believer, it's not only inspired and inerrant, it's authoritative. The Word of God says what it means and means what it says. And as believers, we follow the Word of God. We don't follow a man. We don't follow a church. We follow what God's Word says. That's what's important. That's the only thing that's infallible. I've messed up many times. I'm not infallible. But God's Word is. And he writes them because he knows that everywhere he goes, the Judaizers follow. And the Judaizers are those Jewish believers who feel like now that you've placed faith in Christ, that's a good start, but now you got to start living like a Jew. You got to start acting like a Jew. You got to start believing like a Jew to be a good Christian. By the way, let me just say in this day in which we live, I enjoy learning how Jews do things and how Jewish believers and the different feasts and different things and stuff like that. But never get caught up like you got to live like that. Praise God, Jesus died for Gentiles. Amen? So enjoy your pork chop. I enjoy that. So I'm not going to be eating like a Jew. I've been over there several times, and I really didn't care for the food that much. But it's all kosher. Okay. Let me just say, he writes this so they'll be grounded in the faith, deep roots in the Word and truth. And today he's teaching something that in theology is called federal headship. Now, you probably haven't used that. You may not even know what that means, but you probably have heard the concept without it ever being called that. I never heard of it until I took theology, let's just say 40 plus years ago at Bible college. But I want to try to explain this to you, and then we'll get into the passage and look at it verse by verse. So I want to give you a little theological tidbit, if you will, and be able to understand the concept of what's called federal headship. It means that literally that Adam was the appointed representative of the human race, since he was the only one created at the time, and that Jesus Christ became the representative who took all the sins of humanity on himself. And in one person, Jesus Christ paid the debt for all of us so that all who believe could place their faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're here this morning, you don't know you're a Christian, you're missing out. And this morning you could pray and invite Christ in your life and trust Him as your Savior and know that heaven is your eternal home. Nothing like it in the world to know you're heaven bound. So let me just read a little bit here. It might be, boring, but not to a Christian. I think everything about God is interesting. And so let me just share some information. In theology, federal headship is used to explain imputation, how Adam's sin was imputed to all of us, his descendants, and how Christ's righteousness was imputed to those who believe the gospel. According to federal headship or federism, Adam was the federal or representative head of the human race. Adam chose to sin, and all of us are considered guilty too, because he was our representative, in that we were all in Adam. Even as Eve herself was in Adam before God took a rib out of Adam and created Eve. Federal headship is seen as an explanation of Paul's comparison of the roles of Adam and Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible records, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." So Adam's sin brought condemnation and sin and guilt, but the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice brought righteousness and freedom and justification. So both of them were used of God as one individual to bring both sin and death, the law, that was not good, or to bring righteousness and justification, sanctification, eternal life, and every other blessing that we could think of came from Jesus. Amen? I always say, as a Christian, if there's anything good in us, it's what God put in there. Because it didn't come from us, it came from Him. When He came to live inside of us, He started cleaning up. And I don't know about your life, but sometimes He had a whole lot to clean up, right? It was a mess. It was like a hoarder, and he had to, get rid of things slowly and surely. Well, since Adam's sin brought the condemnation and Christ's sacrifice brought salvation, the idea of federal headship is not explicitly in the Bible as far as the name, just like the word Trinity is not found as a word, but the concept of the Trinity, God in three in one, is all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Bible nowhere calls Adam our representative. Federal headship is simply a way that many scholars have chosen to speak about Adam's and then Christ's involvement in the destiny of humanity. This is based on Paul's argument in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, which we read, "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." From Adam to Moses, even before the law was given, the Bible says death reigned, even though they did not sin after the similitude after the law. If there was no Mosaic law, and if there was no, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Romans chapter 4, verse 15 tells us that, where there's no law, there's no transgression. And yet, there was still sin before the law was given. How could Adam's sons have been deemed sinful? Well, applying federal headship, we can say that it was because they were all part of the human race. Adam was their representative, and therefore Adam's transgression applied to all men. Because we were all in Adam. Remember, even Eve was in Adam and then came out. Remember, the Bible says, "And God created them, male and female created them." Him. Does that ever mess you up sometimes and it tells you that before Eve was created? Because that's who Adam was. He was male and female, not physically, but all human life was in Adam. And when he sinned, it passed down to all human life. David says this. He said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He says that in the book of Psalms. He's not saying his mother was sinful, or him and his mother and father were sinful. He's simply meaning that when he was born a sinner. We had a depraved nature that came from Adam. So every child, I mean, they can be fed, they can be dry, and they can still throw a fit. And by the way, so can we sometimes, right? Maybe not as dramatic as a baby will do, but sometimes we do that. But you see that God was watching over us, and that he saw the sin that was coming from Adam, and God said, "I have a solution. And it's going to be the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It's going to be his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." So that in one man, he took our sin, he took our guilt, and gave us his righteousness and his eternal life. What a wonderful bargain it was when we trusted Christ as our personal Savior. What we know for certain is that death entered the world through Adam's sin. So the idea of federal headship is not stated outright in Scripture, but Adam's sin was definitely the origin of the problem. And sin was inherited by all of us through him. And by the way, let me just add this. That's why it's the absolute necessity that Jesus was brought into this world through the virgin birth. Because the bloodline goes from the father to the child. And had Jesus the bloodline of Adam, he would have been born with a sinful nature. So we are sinners on two counts. One, we are born with a depraved nature, a sinful nature. And secondly, we actively sin. So we're guilty on both counts. But before the law, they were guilty on one count. They had a sin nature. But they still sin. They just didn't have a law that said it. They broke laws that were not yet written, you see. And the good news is that when Jesus Christ died, he changed all that. For those who would place faith in Christ, God took a big old eraser and erased all that sin, all that depravity. Oh, I know we still are that way. I know we still sin. Let me say this. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. That's your nature. That's our nature given us by Adam. Thank you, Adam. Can't wait to get to heaven and say, "Thank you, sir. You gave me some challenges." I don't know about you, but part of the best thing about heaven is never having to deal with sin again. Amen? Isn't that amen? Never have to deal with that. Adam gave us sin and guilt and condemnation. Jesus Christ takes that away. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is going to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm telling you that what Adam gave us, Jesus took away, but He took away so much better and so much more, and we're going to see that in the passage of Scripture here as well. So as we look at it now, let me share with you first, one man's transgressions was all mankind's fall. One man's transgression was all mankind's fall. Well, that's what verses 12, 13, and 14 tell us. By Adam, sin entered into the world, verse 12 will tell us. By Adam, death passed upon all men. The wages of sin is death. And that we got from Adam, the judgment of death. That's why Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came so we could have eternal life. God brought in the law and the sin was then imputed to all, verse 13 tells us. And then in verse 14, men died before the law, but they died for the sin of Adam before the law was ever given by Moses. They didn't have a law, but they still had sin. And that was imputed unto them by Adam as the federal headship or the federal head or the representative of humanity, in that we were all in Adam. You want to trace your genealogy back, go all the way to Adam. And that's where it stops, because he was the first of God's creation. So one man's transgression, all mankind falls. Secondly, in verses 15, 16, and 17, we see that there's headship by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's similar, but so much, much better. And that's what it's going to tell us. Notice what it says in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many were dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So what he's saying here is we see the vast difference between what happened with Adam, and the results was tragic, and then what happened with Jesus, and the results is glorious. By one man, sin led us into judgment. But what God is telling us here in verse 15 is by what Jesus Christ did for us is above and beyond. So He is a federal representative, a headship, in that He died for all of us. But He didn't just die for all of us. He arose victorious for all of us. And He came to live in all of us who have trusted Him as His Savior. And He came to bless us every single day till we get to heaven. His mercies are new every morning. And then He wants to bless us every day throughout eternity in heaven. It's so much better. Adam sinned, and that was enough. He left us guilt and judgment. But Jesus died for us. He arose from the tomb for us. He took all of our sins for us. He gave us His righteousness. Remember, as we studied Romans, I said, Jesus didn't die to make us righteous. Jesus died to give us His righteousness. That's so much better. So much better. Because our righteousness are as filthy rags, the Bible tells us. Jesus was our representative. He was God's Son who came to earth to live among us and die for all of us. And by simple faith and accepting Him as our Savior, we can have the forgiveness and we can have an eternity with Him who walks with us every day till we go to death's door, and then has a wonderful eternity with us forever and ever and ever. The Bible tells us here that Adam sinned once and we're all under the judgment. Christ died once, and all of our many sins are done away with by His gift of justification. Verses 14, 15, and 16 tell us that. Adam's offense, death reigned. Verse 17. But we who believe, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness are given by Jesus Christ. Same verse, verse 17. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than is he that is in the world. See, Adam gave us sin, and that sin nature. And by the way, if you're here this morning, let me just share some sad news. You'll battle that sin nature all your life. I remember as a young man, I was pastoring in Arkansas, the first church we started, second church we pastored. Miss Vicki and I were 23 years of age when we started the church there for 5.5 years, built a lovely church and congregation, and God blessed. It was amazing. And we had a godly neighbor. We just bought a home, only home we've ever bought and lived in. We live in a house the church has purchased and belongs to the church. And so we lived in that home, and next door was a godly deacon of the First Baptist Church. And it was the big church in town. It ran 700 people way back when. And he was a godly man. One day I was helping him. His downspout had got off, and I was helping him put that on. He had a screwdriver, was getting that fixed for him. He was an old man. I mean, he was probably 65. I'm 66. He was 65. And he had his neck fused because he had problems in his neck. So he had to turn like this. I'm not sure they do that much anymore, but they used to fuse. You had problems, they just fuse you. And so he was like that. And Miss Vicki had a friend, a member of our church, brought over her daughter, cute little girl, because Miss Vicki had a daycare in our home. Her daycare made more than I made as the pastor of the church, but Miss Vicki paid most of the bills because of her daycare, and brought her over there, and it was Vicki's best friend. And Joe Bailey looked up, and he said, she's walking across the yard to our front door, and he says, that's a fine-looking woman. And then he goes back like that, and I go, huh. That's not usually the words I hear out of a deacon. Now, our deacons, yes, but that back then, no. But I'm kidding. You know I love you, deacons. And so I said, Joe, tell me, how old were you when things didn't bother you anymore? And things didn't affect your thought life, and you didn't have those feelings you got to shake off, and you got to, no. I said, how old were you? And he goes, I'm not dead yet. And I remember as a young preacher, I was so discouraged because I thought maybe at 50, maybe at 60, surely by 70, you turn into a saint, right? The sad reality is you're going to wrestle with the devil all your life because we have a depraved nature. That's the sad news. But the good news is, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ doesn't accept you because of your behavior or your performance. He accepts us because of His performance and what He did on Calvary for us. And so that's so important to understand. And the Apostle Paul wants these Christians at Rome to understand they're justified by faith, and that Jesus Christ gives His righteousness to them. It's not based on how they act or how they live. Of course, we try to live the best life we can, but we know that that's only because we're trying to please the Lord with our life. We're not trying to gain acceptance by our Lord with our life. And so there's the difference. Now we look at the contrast of each one. In verses 18, 19, 20, and 21, it's going to tell us that. In verse 18, it's going to say, by the offense of one, judgment came on all men to condemn us. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. We were all guilty because of Adam. But we're also guilty because we're sinners. And in verse 18, he's also saying the righteousness of one, the free gift, offered to all men to justification of life. Now remember, justification, fancy word, best way to remember it, just as if I'd never sinned. That is the standing that we have before God the Father because of His Son, Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ is on our account. In verse 19, one man's disobedience equal all were made sinners. But also in verse 19, the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Praise God. I know you don't look in the mirror and say, I look righteous today. But aren't you glad that's how God sees you every day? That's how God sees you. And then in verse 20, the law equal offenses abound. You see, we were sinners before the law, but the law just let us see how clearly we were sinners. You didn't know you were breaking the law driving down the road until you passed a speed limit sign. When you saw the speed limit sign and looked in your car, you thought, oh, I'm going too fast. But you never would have known it if you didn't have the sign. I wish they'd stop posting those things. It makes me feel terrible sometimes. No, really, it bothers Miss Vicky. It really doesn't bother me. But anyway, she'll say, you know how fast you're going? I said, honey, I am in a hurry. The king's business requires haste. I'm not sure I'm on the king's business all the time, but anyway. We have many police officers in our church. I hope none of them ever see me on the road and have to pull me over. I've not had that in a long, 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 long time. Verse 20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Not the same. Here's sin, here's grace. It's equal. No. Here's grace. It's way up there. Because He lives with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He gives us victory in our life. He loves on us every single day of our life. And then we get to heaven and get to be with Him and hear Jesus say, welcome home, children. Come on in. Oh, I tell you, what Jesus did is so much more. Adam hurt us, but Jesus helped us. And He loves us. And that's where it is. God's grace is not equal to our sin. It is abundantly much, much more. Verse 21, sin reigns unto death. Grace reigns unto righteousness and eternal life, and all by Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ. Or maybe as a believer, you've placed your faith in Christ. You remember that time where you prayed and you trusted Christ. You know you're a Christian. You just feel like you've drifted. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I know we got the pull of the world, the pull of the devil, the pull of the flesh. I understand that. But if you're not careful, you give into it and you feel your heart being pulled from the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to recognize that and then to say, Lord, that's not how I want to live my life. I want to give you my heart fresh and anew. I want to live for you all the days of my life. And when I fail you, I want you to know I'm sorry. I want my life to count for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's the day. You can be God's child like that. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Could I ask us all to stand to our feet if we will? with heads bowed and eyes closed. You may be here this morning having never trusted Christ, or you're watching online and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you've never been scripturally baptized. Maybe you want to rededicate your life and just have a word of prayer around an old-fashioned altar. Maybe God spoke in your heart about being a member. Every church, every Christian needs to be a member somewhere in some good church. We're just one of many. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then the music's going to play. And if you feel like you need to pray about something in your life, maybe a great need in your life, you can come and have a word of prayer. If you need to talk to any of our assistant pastors, two of them will be standing down front out of many of them. Let God do something. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we have together. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, or someone who's watching online, oh, how I hope that they understand how much you love them and how you sent your Son to die for their sin. And if they would just acknowledge Jesus and to believe that He's God in flesh, that He came to earth and He died for them and He rose again victoriously from the grave, if they would just accept Christ as their Savior and place faith in Him, they could be your child forever and ever, and heaven would be their eternal home. And Lord, if there's someone like that, I pray that you'd help them just word a simple prayer and say something like, Lord, I ask you to save me. I believe in you. I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior. I know you died for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. Save me from my sin. Take me to heaven when I die. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all throughout this auditorium. I wonder if there's someone here this morning to say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world, but I'd want to pray for you. I wonder if there's someone who would raise up their hand and say, yes, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus to save me. Is there anyone like that at all throughout the auditorium? I'm trusting that even online there's people in their homes that are watching and somebody's raising their hand. For the rest of us, there's other decisions. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace. I pray you'll bless in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing. The piano's playing. And if God's speaking to your heart and there's a decision you need to pray about, some decision you want to make for Christ, let God do something in your heart. Let God do something in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying. Pray about the needs of your life, the needs of your family, your loved ones. Let God do something. God bless you. You may be seated. Alejandra has let us know she wants to be a member here at Grandview Baptist Church. Alejandra Gutierrez. Alejandra. I can pronounce that very good. People have a hard time with Mutchler, so I understand that. All in favor of receiving Alejandra into the membership of Grandview Baptist Church, raise your hand right there. God bless you. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, God bless you. Wonderful. Let me say, if you want to be a part of the Grandview Connection, there's a sign-up sheet on the information counter. If you want to go to the estate planning Zoom call on the 8th at 6 o'clock, there's a sign-up sheet on the information counter. Let's watch the next video, and then we are dismissed till this evening.
Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Romans was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 for a powerful evening service as we hear Pastor Mutchler continue our verse-by-verse series from the book of Hebrews.
Our InReach campaign started last week, and we are excited to continue this over the next few weeks. It's a great opportunity for you to be a part of helping deliver InReach bags to people in our church. We hope that everyone can join us this week at one of the available times in the church foyer. Monday at 10 a.m. with the Howells, Tuesday at 10 a.m. with the Vestals, and Saturday at 11 a.m. with Pastor and Miss Vicki.
We are looking forward to having guest speaker Brad Dacus with the Pacific Justice Institute at Grandview on Sunday, February 7th. He's committed to faith and justice and works to protect parental rights and religious freedoms here in the Western states.
Teenagers, there will be an overtime InReach activity Sunday, February 7th, right after the 5 p.m. service, and will end at 7 p.m. We'll make visits and drop off InReach bags to some of our church people. Please sign up at the welcome desk if you are able to join us. This will help us know how many drivers and vehicles to plan for. For questions or more information, please see TJ Gardner.
There will be an estate planning Zoom meeting on Monday, February 8th at 6 p.m. with attorney Michael Edgel. This meeting will help educate our church members about their wills and answer other legal questions regarding estate planning. If you would like to join online from home, the Zoom login information will be sent out through the Grandview e-messenger. If you're unable to join from home and would like to be a part of the Zoom meeting at the church in the Admiral Room, please sign up at the welcome desk. This is a free informational event which will provide valuable information for those who can attend.
Ladies, mark your calendars for the First Ladies Night Out on Thursday, February 11th at 7 p.m. at Miss Vicki's house. Bring a snack to share and join us for a time of fun and fellowship.
Learn more about our church through the Grandview Connection Sunday School class with Pastor and Miss Vicki. This class will start on Sunday, February 14th and meet at 10 a.m. by the coffee bar in the church foyer for 6 weeks. If you would like to join, please sign up at the welcome desk.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we would be happy to answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look for guest services. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
God bless you. You're dismissed.